Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's jump right in. Always pleased to be joined by the senior senator from the state of Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar. Amy, like all of our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you, Amy. I appreciate the time. We have a lot of issues to get to, and I know
Chad. Anyway, happy holidays, first off.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. What will you and the family be doing on Christmas?
Well, we're, of course, getting together and with our daughter, which is always a lot of fun to do, and I'm kind of excited to try to take 4 days, but here's the deal, Chad. We may still be in Washington.
Yeah. Okay.
If we don't get an agreement, because we can't have a government shutdown, and then all the TSA workers that are going to be helping people get through to visit their relatives at Christmas, and so we've got to come to some agreement here. So that's my first.
So let's talk about that. There is a bipartisan agreement worked out for months. Republicans, Democrats. It is voluminous. It's over 1,500 pages, which does trouble me. But, as you said, we need to keep the government running. People need to stay employed for these essential positions for the rest of us to enjoy what we want to enjoy. Elon Musk, who I've started calling the prime minister of the country, starts tweeting about this, saying that anybody who signs off on this bill should no longer be in Congress 2 years from now. Later, the president-elect gets on board, and now it's dead in the water. What are the chances this is going to get resolved? And what pause do you have on the power that Elon Musk has right now, who received as many electoral votes as I did?
You know, it concerns me mostly. If we were just out there and we said, hey, we have this bill that Democrats want, why won't you support it? This was negotiated with the Republicans and Republican leadership, with Speaker Johnson, with Mitch McConnell, with the whole group of Republican leaders. That didn't mean that every single person was going to vote for it, but it was an agreement. And it was also about our farmers, because they have been so hard hit by what's going on in small towns. And it's also about some of the disaster relief with the hurricanes. And it was everything in there was some kind of bipartisan thing. It wasn't just some crazy thing on either end. It was a bipartisan agreement. And so that's what really concerns me about this, because we do have to keep the government going. That isn't to say we won't have big policy discussions next year about what to do about the debt, what to do about tax reform that's coming up. And in my position, keeping middle class tax cuts and even expanding some of those, but making sure that the money isn't going to everyone that's on the high end, wealthiest of the spectrum of wages here, and that we make this fair for everyone, and that we fix some of these healthcare problems and things like that. So I'm actually, you know, most bipartisan bills of anyone in the last Congress, work across the aisle all the time. Just done a bill with Ted Cruz that's included in this package of things. Chairing Donald Trump's inauguration. You got her on as a guest. That's me. Working with his team because I'm the outgoing rules chair. So I'm all, you know, you couldn't be more bipartisan. However, it really does bother me when one person that wasn't elected can start having his views, which he is more than welcome to have, and then everyone just folds. And I don't think that's what you should do. I think you should listen to him, and he's going to have some great ideas next year, I'm sure, for efficiency government. I am very open to listening to him and figuring out how to make things work better. But it's really concerning when we're facing a deadline and we would have TSA lines and the like for when people are trying to go and visit their grandma. It doesn't really make sense to do this right now.
So let's talk about this, what you worked on, because it's very important with Ted Cruz, right? And again, you are very bipartisan. The data backs this up. This is something heinous that continues to happen in our country. It is indefensible. Yep. Now, it's called the Take It Down Act, which criminalizes non-consensual publication of explicit images and requires websites to remove them upon notice. I am 100% for this. This is awful how individuals' lives have been ruined. My concern is there are so many aspects of the internet that how do I know we're going to be able to police this and stop something which absolutely should be criminal?
So we have to start somewhere, and there's got to be just the horror of the fentanyl being sold on Snapchat. We've had a number of Minnesotans die, kids that think they're getting a Percocet and it's laced with fentanyl. And we got to start somewhere. And of course, I've also led bills on that. But this is such an outrageous example of the platforms have to be responsible. So you have kids and adults that their images, and sometimes they're real images of kids, girlfriend, boyfriends, they break up. One of them posts, like most likely a girl, naked image of the girl, and her life is ruined. It starts rotting. Some of them now are AI created. We had one, a Minnesotan, who came forward from Otsego, Molly, and told her story. Just someone who knew her family took 80 women that he knew, she knows some of them, their faces, and then made AI-created bodies on them. He was never with them at all, and then put them out on the internet. And there are people, especially in schools, kids passing these images around. And so we've had, this is FBI statistic from the FBI director last year, in just 1 year, over 20 minors, kids, committed suicide because of this. Because they're so young, they're, you know, 16, 17, and suddenly their naked image is all going through their high school. They don't want their parents to know. We had a Republican state legislator from South Carolina whose kid committed suicide. Like, this is actually happening. And so what the bill that Ted Cruz and I did, and we have worked together despite on a number of things, and I think part of this is our willingness to take on some of these companies. We said it's a crime, a full crime, 3 years kids, 2 years adults. It's a clear crime, and that's going to help. When it's a federal crime, it just helps the state prosecutors. And then the second thing is that the platforms have to take it down when they're notified within 48 hours. You're right. They won't all do it right away. We'll have to be on them. We'll have to have hearings. You violated the law. But it at least sets a federal standard that we're not going to tolerate this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Three last topics, and we'll let Amy Klobuchar go. We appreciate Amy's time with us here on CCO. You are now the ranking member on the Senate Ag Committee for next year. Mm-hmm. This is something you've wanted to do for a long time. For Minnesotans who care about this, what are a couple changes that you would like to push and try to implement now with this elevated position on the Ag Committee?
Sure. So number one is the Farm Bill, which includes safety net for our farmers. Minnesota is one of the top farming states. We have a lot of small farmers still. We've lost some of them, but it's a really important part of Minnesota, and it's also important for our economy. We're number one for sugar beets. We're number one for turkeys. Number two for hogs, you name it. But what I would like to see is we're starting to see an increasing number of animal diseases. You've heard about the avian flu and mm-hmm. losing turkeys, losing chickens. The governor of California just declared an emergency there because it's translated into cattle. I think we have to do more to prepare for this. I just met with the Trump nominee for the Ag Department, Brooke Rollins. This was one of the major topics of our discussion. There is actually some things we could do with vaccines and other things. So pretty soon, it's going to start hurting us economically, and it's also going to hurt our ability to export, which is so important to Minnesota farmers. So there's a number of these animal diseases, and I think we need to get ahead of them. Senator Cornyn and I already passed a bill that actually helped us with the last round of avian flu and made us better prepared for it. So I want to build on that. I also think that we can do more on the front of dairy, make sure that people understand milk is milk, and keep our dairy industry strong in Minnesota. We've got a lot of small dairy farms that are still struggling. I think that there is a number of things that we can do on the conservation front. We work with Pheasants Forever, Ducks Unlimited, those groups, and Minnesota is a big user of those conservation programs, which helps with our hunting and fishing as well. So I'm actually, and then ag research, as we look at the climate change and some of the things going on, changing, and I've been very pragmatic about things like seeds and other things. We need to be really smart when it comes to ag research, and that involves University of Minnesota. It can help with diseases. So I'm actually really excited to take on this role. I work really well with Senator Bozeman. He came out to Minnesota from Arkansas and visited with me this last year. Some of our precision agriculture, where we're using really cool equipment to be able to conserve resources with water and pesticides and the like. So there's a lot of good things going on with ag right now.
I'll get to one last question because I know your time is short. The Wall Street Journal came out today with a lengthy story about someone you respect immensely. And I know you view him as a friend and an ally, and you view that Joe Biden passed a number of bills that have made this country better and will make this country better. But it backs mm-hmm. up what a lot of us have thought, that sadly, and this could happen to any of us, we both have had fathers who lived a long time and eventually left us, and we see deterioration. But it talks in great length with great sourcing about how the president struggled and didn't meet with cabinet members and just was atypical of most presidents. And I know this wasn't easy for any Democrat who wanted Joe Biden to win. But in hindsight, as much as you respect him, do you think you should have come out sooner and said, Mr. President, you've served our country well. You said you were going to be a transition president. It is better for all of us if you say one term before he did, when the polls just bottom out after the debate? Do you think that's something that you would look back and say, I should have jumped in a little bit sooner?
Well, first of all, I ran against Joe Biden, as you know, Chad. So I actually, you know, let's go on way back then, and not far that back. I wanted to be president, and so I actually thought sure. I could have done a good job, and I was willing to stand up and run against him. And then he got our country, in my mind, through this pandemic. It wasn't easy. He made friends. He made enemies. It wasn't easy. And then he decided to run again. And I had not had, and I've been very clear with this, I was with him on Air Force One. I had not had an experience where I saw those kinds of issues. I haven't read this article, but of course I've heard these reports. I saw the debate.
Do you
that
believe
did not
him now,
go
though?
Well.
Do you, I mean, I believe you that you didn't see, think, but you believe all the reporting?
Yeah, I didn't. I would like to read the story and see what
sure.
it says. But what I do know is he's not the president anymore, Chad. Okay, he did step aside. And of course, in retrospect, when you look at it, you wish that he had stepped aside earlier, because then our candidate, or there would have been a primary, whatever would have happened, and we might have had a better chance of winning. But it's all, to me, behind us. And what's in front of us right now is that we have a new president, a former president. My view is that you find common ground where you can and you stand your ground where you must. We take an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. I just met with Sean Duffy, who is the mm-hmm. nominee for transportation. We had a very good meeting. I'm up at this point. I plan on supporting him. I met with the UN ambassador nominee, Elise Stefanik. I've got a job to do. And I think last time I supported half of his nominees in the first round for the cabinet. And I'm going to look at each one of them on a case-by-case basis. And I'm going to work on housing, because I think we have a shortage in Minnesota, for all over our state, especially in rural. I'm going to work on child care. I've told them all this. I'm going to try to find ways we can get things done. And I am just not going to look in the rearview mirror. I think President Biden accomplished some good things. I have not agreed with him on everything. I've been very clear. I did not agree with the pardon of his son. And I did not agree with some of these recent pardons, including what happened with that drug dealer with the last place on earth up Duluth, and that guy got pardoned, which I don't agree with, and a number of other ones. So I'm not going to agree with Biden on everything. It just hadn't been my experience, which I will admit was limited in the last year with him. But I'm just moving forward right now.
I appreciate the time. Let's do it more often. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, Chad. Bye.
Senator Amy Klobuchar. You can react to any time we have a guest on, whether it was Kevin O'Connell, Rochelle Olson, or Amy Klobuchar. Coming up, Jason DeRosa and Bill Guerin. You know how to track us down. 651-461-9226.